I'd like to call this meeting of the Taney County Commission this Thursday, August 22nd, 2013, to order. And our first order of business is Cartograph Software Services. I'd like to call on Ron Erickson and Randy Hayes. Let me note for the record, this is a notice of intent to declare single feasible sole source, SSP number 201307-234. Pursuant to RSMO number 34.044, governing declaration of a single feasible sole source provider, we're here today to discuss our intentions as previously advertised in the Taney County Times and the Branson Tri-Lakes News, as well as posted on our website, to declare Cartograph for operations management software as a single feasible sole source for said software for our road and bridge department. This vendor has been the provider of said existing software for Taney County for several years and now offers an expanded, upgraded version via required renewal process. Given these conditions, we wanted to alert any possible vendor or vendors of our intentions. Our purchasing department has completed documentation to support this declaration with numerous facts, stipulations, and requirements. I have this document in front of me, but also we've got Ron Erickson and Randy Hayes. They're here to share details with all of us concerning this process. Mr. Erickson, I'd like to call on you first, and then Randy, if you'll follow up.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. This has been a process that was originated due to the expiration of an existing contract that predated my being here, but it was a vendor that had been providing software services for the Road and Bridge Department and some other departments, Cartograph. As we approached the time frame of the expiration of the contract, the vendor contacted us ahead of time, and then Randy contacted me to engage in some meetings to discuss upcoming renewals, upgrades, what the upgraded software was going to deliver, the different products that were available, because there was a cost factor associated with that. Due to some circumstances involving the availability of the vendor as well as us, there was a delay in engaging with them and having in-person meetings to the point where the expiration date had been reached, so I formally requested an extension. It was granted by the vendor while we pursued answers to all the questions and basically to justify a determination that this indeed was a sole source provider. There was a couple of in-person meetings, I believe, and one particular that I participated in was a question and answer session. And then the Road Bridge Department, along with assistance from the IS Department, also discussed some, had a conference call, I believe. And at this point, Randy can probably give a little bit more detail about what the software delivers and what his requirements were and why we've arrived at this conclusion.
Cartograph system was basically implemented early 2003. I don't know when it was originally purchased. We couldn't find any of that information, but we started using it in 2003, entering a road system within this program, and then started entering data, what was available at that time within this program. The other program we utilize within Road and Bridge is our ArcMap GIS program, and the, one of the main reasons for an upgrade to this Cartograph system is to get it to work well with our ArcMap program, get them both working together. To do that, we need the upgrades to accomplish this, plus also other features that we have within this upgrade system, the web use, and an easier in operation, so there isn't so much manual data entry. That's one of the drawbacks to the current system we have. It just needs an upgrade to make this more compatible. We've had several conversations with the cartograph people themselves. Also involved was our IT department, our mapping, and then also conversations with surrounding counties. What type of program do they use within their counties? Basically, I think we've got a good system. We just need upgrades to make it work well for us.
Does Cartograph guarantee us that if we pay for this upgrade, if you will, and there is an expense that's tied to it, mm-hmm. that we in fact are going to have that integration that we need?
Yes, that was one of the meetings that we went online and actually had them show and prove to us that this system will do what we're asking, what we're expecting. But it's going to take training that's also provided in this to make sure that this is going to work with our existing information, bring all this stuff up to date.
Is there additional cost for the training, Randy, or is that included in the amount?
There is an additional cost to the training, and that is spelled out in part of that as training as far as Kathy, myself, and the people that need to use it, how to use the GIS Connect, and then also training on when we implement the web part of it, training on how to utilize that. So there is additional training costs.
Is there also an annual maintenance fee that's tied to this?
Correct. The first year will be the same annual maintenance fee that will be due as quick as we can get this approved. The other will be an additional, I think the annual maintenance fee will be $10,000 per year for a maintenance fee.
What's the upgrade costing?
The upgrade right now is $10,000. Right now we've got that. It's only going to cost us $74.96. The upgrades are $10,000. That's for the GIS Connect and the web service. And then after 2014, the following year, the maintenance fee will raise to $10,000, and that's for a 3-year period.
We estimated on the sole source documentation over a 3-year period total $53,446 for these products, and the cost savings for the performances that they offer far and away outweigh that investment. But that's what the total expense would be over a 3-year period based on invoices that they've submitted to us in the form of proposals.
What does their agreement say if, in fact, some other company were to come forward and say, you've overlooked us, we can provide this at half the cost? Are we locked in for 3 years?
Not the way I interpret the RSMO. In declaration of sole source process, the RSMO allows the commission to immediately award to another vendor one or to become apparent during that course that time. Again, the contracts are...
I'm talking about the specific contract. Did you not say that they wanted it for 3 years?
They spelled out what our cost, maintenance costs would be for 3 years. I don't know that we're locked in for a 3-year period.
Questions, Brandon?
No.
What you're asking us to do is to designate this company as a sole source provider, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And I know we have verbiage, so I pass it over to Brandon. but I don't have it in front of me. That verbiage covers that, if I'm not mistaken, that we have a right to push that through to council. Thank you. It's contingent upon a satisfactorily executed contract, which will serve to the best interest of Taney County. So we can award them as the sole source provider today, and still, if we have legal questions that are not answered to our satisfaction, we can not move forward with the contract. I'm okay with that. Brandon, would you like to make a motion? Randy, what part of Road and Bridge, what line item would this come out of?
I believe we have...
You've got 10,000 in your software line, that's what I meant.
I believe that's the line item. If you, I'm still looking for that one. It would be that one that we had the $10,000 in.
And this is just to declare them as a single, then it'd still go out for. There still have to be a contract done, and we still have to agree to that contract.
Yes, sir.
Right.
If we incorporate all the verbiage that we have in front of us as a motion.
Move to declare Cartograph as the sole source provider for this software, contingent upon a satisfactorily executed contract that will serve the best interest of Taney County for the agreed upon contract, length of terms, and other details will be agreed upon at a later date.
I will second that motion. The motion in front of us primarily is to declare Cartograph as a sole source provider with a contingency regarding the executed contract reaching a satisfactory status with the County Commission. Discussion?
The only thing I would like to add at this point is there anyone present who would like to come forward as a possible alternative vendor for this product?
And we are advertised, are we not, for this procedure to take place, that anyone can come forward?
And on our website.
Thank you. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Well, if that's the case, why don't...
Thank you.
If that's the case, why don't we just go ahead and do like our normal proceedings and put it out for... And if they're the only ones that bid, then...
We did do that. Actually, we put this out for sole source provider. We've contacted other companies or tried to, that would be interested, and this is the only one that is out there that's willing to provide this service.
And is able to provide this one.
And actually, this is a copy of 34044, and it says if we discover anyone else, we can
rescind it again.
Yes, sir. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Gentlemen, thank you.
Yeah.
Randy, if you'll work with Nikki upstairs to get all the legal documentation to Mr. Cotty. Thank you, gentlemen. We have capital improvements discussion. Yes.
In the past several quarters, instead of giving you the document I put in front of you just now, the sewer district has requested reimbursement just in a letter form that you got. It didn't give you a whole lot of detail or anything like that. And the two items on there would be the salary for the individuals that are working with the oversight with the incorporated areas. Traditionally had been the administrator and the executive assistant. What you see on there is the executive assistant. I put time in on that. I did not request anything for me, for my time that I put into that, if they were just hers. We have a similar agreement with Roman Bridge that we reimburse them. This is the format they give us that request for payment in and everything, so that's that may give you the detail that you need there. The second one on there was for our in-house pump technician who rebuilds our grinder pumps instead of sending those out, and then presenting that as a payment for pump R&R. It's, it comes out of a different line item. So with that, I'm here to answer any questions that I can answer for you.
Two questions for you. The line items that you suggested within the budget, 780, 50, 570.
Yes, sir.
Remind me what that line item is. I don't have my budget in front of me.
$570 is the utility capital improvements. It's there's a lot of things in that, Mr. Housman, if you remember.
But I mean, there is a positive amount that was approved by the County Commission.
That you want the amount, I'm sorry.
No, just that there is an amount there.
Yes, sir. Yes,
because I know under administration, we didn't include any.
Under administration, there is no amount.
Secondly, under the 780-20-010,
yes, sir.
There's an amount there as well.
No, sir. That was the line when we started the year. We finalized our budget in December of 2012, and then the commission, with having the new commissioner come on, didn't finish their budget up to 2013, excuse me, in January. So we had had in our budget line to recover some expenses that we had anticipated were going to be covered under capital improvement. However, the commission chose not to fund that line item at the time. Since then, there has been one payment request made for the first quarter, and my understanding was that the commission was going to, my understanding was that they were going to try and fund that line for the expenses incurred there out of the contingency fund, but the line item itself has nothing in it. Basically, what I'm doing is continuing on what was similar to the first quarter.
Specifically, what we're looking at is direct involvement and labor performed in working with the incorporated areas in the passing through of sales tax dollars from the county to the cities.
Yes, sir. That's what that line item represents, that first line item there. She's almost 100% involved. As you know, we're without an administrator right now, so she handles all of the paperwork for those places and for the correspondence that goes on between the commission and the sewer district. Also, on-site visits, I go with her to those, explain what everything is and what it is, so she makes sure she has the pictures and she can verify the work that's being done. But almost exclusively, that's what her job is right now.
Brandon, do you have questions?
On the second person down on the second page you gave me? Is that the one you said the repairs of the...
Yes, sir.
And this is for the second quarter, which is...
April, May, June.
Okay. So it's normal. And was this presented to us in accounts payable? I guess what, I don't know.
I don't think it's come there yet. I wasn't listening to your meeting, so I don't really know if you've seen that. I don't know if you...
Well, this wasn't part of the accounts payable that we... This specific thing wasn't part of it. Is this what caused it?
Well, this is what we sent up. And when I was talking what needs to go up, I was informed that we normally send it up in just a letter form like that. I said, you need a spreadsheet to go with it. For anything, they said, no, we haven't done that in the past. So it came up to you like that. I figure you probably need a little more.
Joanna, if you're listening, could you join us for just a moment? Did this not just come through in accounts payable, Rick? Or is it this particular bill?
I don't know if it has or not. I mean, we turned it in last week, I think, so I was surprised that if it had.
Do you want to take this with you?
Pardon? I don't think this one has.
I could be wrong.
I thought it was part of the... The one last week was with the attorney's fees and the postage and the...
Right.
Reimbursement to some of the...
Yeah, it was... I don't know if there was postage on that one. The one before that had that postage on it. Anything, but we turn these in, I think, twice a month for different things, for different projects and engineers and attorneys and things like that. So
the commission, and you're right, the commission did approve the last... Thank you, sir. The commission did approve the request regarding attorney's fees within that sewer district request, but there were three or four mentions of, which I was going to bring up at the sewer meeting, and I apologize, I was sick, but
we got that message. So,
but that where we were being billed on through capital sales tax for his trips to and from sewer district meetings, and so the question
that should have been covered by us.
The question from the commission was that I was going to point out on Tuesday that we don't think that that's a sales tax expenditure
to
be charged
correct.
An hour and a half at $175 an hour.
If that slipped through, that's our fault for not catching it, and we'll apologize for that, and we can rework whatever documents we need to. It's not our intention for that to happen.
My hope, whether we approved this just recently or did not approve it just recently, and you're probably right, Brandon, is that we go ahead, give him the nod today if we haven't, and then we'll see it in a future, and then address this for how we're going to handle cities. We've been talking about it for some time, but I don't have a problem with it per se. It's work that's been provided. But it would be nice to know if it was included, and Rick's looking that up.
Yeah, first. And I don't know if that has or not. So. I don't.
No.
I think it came up as a separate document.
So it's something that's going to be added.
Okay.
Which it's good for us prior to have the discussion so that we don't have the day that you're waiting for a check. So that's we're trying to.
I'm not pressuring you for that or anything like that. It's not.
I know.
You know, it's just actually I should have been here a month or so ago with this. You know, it's what the deal is. But
we'll move forward. Can we give him that nod on these expenditures? When the accounts payable
it's
comes,
been submitted, right?
This is how it gets submitted.
It,
yes,
it will be.
And you should see it come through the system. And everything.
We're all set.
Thank you,
Mr. Coxey. /911 tax. Tammy. Where? I'm sorry. Chuck, could you join us? We have listed the assessment budget discussions.
Chuck, do you know that
A number for the bond budget session?
359. I didn't tell it, but it's right, but I got to go.
Do you have one more copy of this with you?
Yes.
Rick, could you join us? Chuck had asked last week if he could approach the county commission regarding the budget. We suggested budget would be starting in 2 or 3 weeks, but he asked to talk with us ahead of time, and certainly we want you to be included. Go ahead, sir.
Thanks for hearing me, guys. To my understanding, the assessor's budget only has enough funds to operate the office through the end of this month. As you know, I start September 1, so I thought it'd be negligent to wait until I get here at September 1 to talk to you about funding it for at least September. So simply my request would be that y'all would transfer funds that's in your budget, I understand, to the assessor's budget for at least September or possibly October, November. The needs there, needless to say. The only thing that would cause there not to be that need is if the state decided to send us some funding. I did visit with them, I believe it was 2 weeks ago after a training in Jeff City, and the subject was touched, but not really talked about at all. I mean, they know, made clear that that's one of my goals, is to get the state funding coming back to the county. So my hope is that that could happen. They are planning to come down and work with me the second week, I believe it is, in September, in a couple of days. So there's a possibility that something good could come out of that. I hope so. But September 1, my understanding is we don't have the funds to do anything in the assessor's office. So, again, my request would be that you at least transfer funds for the months of September and possibly October. Just depends how often you want me to come before you if state funds don't come along. Answer questions if I can.
Well, you said that you spoke with the tax commission following the training when you were at Lake of the Ozarks. Is that when you and I were going to go up and talk to them, and that didn't come about?
Actually, it was in Jefferson City.
Yes.
You did offer a month or two ago to go, and I declined that offer. But this was after, I believe it was 2 weeks ago Monday, they had a new assessor's training. The first half of the day was put on by the State Tax Commission, each of the commissioners. Bob Epperson, who's the kind of the key guy over technical, I forget exactly his title of office, but anyway, he's the person that have to work with and through. In the second half of the day, then the Assessors Association presented information and got more than I could handle, but it was a good meeting. After the meeting was over, I met with Bob Epperson and just talked about what we face, and I had visited with him a year ago a little bit, and anyway, my hope, my goal is that we'll get that funding coming, and there is, as I remember as a commissioner, and I don't have that info, but if they started funding, they might go backwards funds that they've withheld this year, that we might get more than just the start up again. If I'm making sense to you.
Sure.
So that's another hope I have, is that if there's any funds that have not been lost through the budget, you know, gone, that we would get those coming to the county as well, which would be a big plus to the budget.
And your comment to us is that you're working with the tax commission to hopefully convince them that they need to send through state funding to Taney County.
Yes.
Could I ask then what percentage of an increase they requested of you on taxpayers within Taney County for that to happen?
We've not had any discussion, any details at all.
I'm just assuming that would be part of it, since that's the reason they gave us that they wouldn't give us the money in the first place.
That was much of the conversation that I used to hear, yes, and I assume that will be there, but the index was not mentioned, any kind of a request, or he did show me a few of the appraisals that the state did and problems. I'm talking like two different ones that they had. And but I mean, we had like a 30-minute meeting. It was at the end of the day, and he was on vacation. Actually, he had come in to do the training that day, and he was back to vacation, so I didn't want to drag him out.
Let me make two notes real quick. As I told you when you and I sat in the office upstairs, I'm going to do everything I can to assist you to make your transition into this position as smooth as possible. Currently, there are monies within the budget to provide funding for the assessor's office through this year. The funding comes from various sources. Hopefully, some of that funding will come from the state. If not, the county has budgeted the additional dollars that would be necessary to keep that office running through the end of 2013. We placed that within general county revenue as a transfer. And as those funds are needed, this county commission will vote to make those transfers. But it will take a vote for that to happen. To carry payroll and existing expenses, we've made one transfer. That transfer amount was upon recommendation from the county budget officer on the amount of money that was needed. And it will, based upon how this commission votes, we'll make a determination on how many of those dollars are transferred. I don't anticipate any problem whatsoever, Chuck.
I understand what you've said. That's why I asked to be on the agenda. I'm asking you to vote today to fund September, to make a transfer.
Now, I would certainly feel more comfortable when our third commissioner is here to have that vote so the three of us can do it. We currently have enough funds to cover till Monday, don't we, Rick?
It will come to Monday.
And if Rick, you will give us another amount, or perhaps we should sit down and you could tell me what we have in balance, et cetera.
I can have something that we'll give you, same as we. The payroll, the benefits, and those things are fairly easy.
It's not my intention to let the assessor's office run short. It's my intention to make sure that fundings are available, John.
Good. That's what we all need. Should I request to bring this up, get on the agenda for Monday then? Hoping Danny will be here.
I've just asked the auditor to give us a report on what we're going to need, and we will address it on Monday.
So don't need to ask to be on the agenda for the issue?
Not unless you just want to be here. We're going to take care of the issue.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. Thank you.
When do you know if the state's going to, have you talked with them and kind of had a date on when they'll know if they'll provide any funds? Or?
Again, we had a short conversation, and I see a willingness. In fact, the funding issue, if I remember correctly in the conversation, came from Mr. Epperson first. He brought it to the table. It's one of those issues that I didn't bring up because I knew that he knew that we needed those funds from what we've been through. So again, he was talking a couple of days, 3 days or longer if we needed to work with me and see what we can work out. So I assume somewhat is going to be my attitude to what he's
Epperson's
looking
gonna be,
for.
He's going to be key in this decision. I say Epperson's
sir.
Be key in this decision as to what the State Tax Commission is going to do, because they're going to lend an ear to what he has to say. And if they feel that the incoming assessor is going to raise the index to the level that they feel it should be raised, then they have the ability to send those dollars to Taney County. That's my understanding in past discussions with him.
One comment that he made, which was positive, they could live with the assessments being lower than value if they were all equal. Their big point is they need to be equal. So I won't be surprised, as you're saying, Ron, that he talks about an index, but he emphasized that what we're after is equality. If it's not 100% of value, yeah, that's not the big thing. They want it. That's the goal, is your property is valued at what it's worth. But I don't know what to expect, Brandon, kind of from your comment. I do have some sense that it'll be positive and we can get it worked out and get funds coming. But I don't know what they're going to ask her. And after they ask it, we're going to have to work it out in our office to see if we believe that's the right thing to do. I mean, if they're asking, I'm sure their goal is to do what's right, and that's mine, of course, but sometimes we see things differently, of course, and so we're just going to have to work those out.
For your edification on the comments that were made earlier, Chuck and I met, and I told him that at least I personally would be in support of supporting the office and supporting his attempt to secure funding from the State Tax Commission from the perspective of collaboration within this courthouse.
I think it's probably, is that a good idea, a bad idea? You said you declined. I didn't know.
I believe from sitting in your chairs, you all have a lot to do. Frankly, it's the assessor's responsibility to do what they're wanting to do. We've got to work together, and I too want us to work together in a positive way. At first, I said okay to Ron when he offered to come up and sit down with me, but it'll be the assessor's job to do that, and if issues come up, I will certainly ask for help, and that very may well be the case. But I feel like it's my responsibility to do that job, and appreciate your help, but I feel like I need to try to crack that nut.
Anything else?
Appreciate you. Thank you for hearing me out.
Thank you, sir.
You bet.
Thank you, Rick. Rick, if you'll provide us with what figures we need, we'll sit down, you and I, and chat, get ready for Monday.
What
it's going to take to, on a monthly basis, okay. And then obviously I can add that up month by month.
And there still is some revenue streaming in, small amounts. Those are things we can't really.
Right. Thank you, sir. 911 tax. Who all's going to join us? Tammy, are you out there? I don't see
Tammy
her.
Just ran down to get some, but she should be right back.
Tammy, do you have everybody here that you're expecting?
Well, I believe so.
I think so.
I appreciate all of you who have returned to discuss 911 and the request that you all have for this issue to go on the November ballot at a rate of 0.25% sales tax. I spoke with Tammy, the commission spoke with Tammy briefly following the presentation, and we have some questions, and we thought they'd best be answered, or at least some of the questions posed to you all before, at least for us, Monday's deadline, which is when the commission will hear this issue and make a decision on it. And again, we hope to have a full contingent of commissioners here. Danny has not been very well, and he is dealing with that currently.
If Chris? You may, I do appreciate that you had questions and allow us to come back here today. I really do, for the 911 Advisory Board and Tammy to be here and talk to you about this. You know, it was probably close to 6 years ago when we first came to the commission, which I know
we weren't here.
Neither one of you were there, and stated the fact that with the dwindling of home phones, the dwindling of the landline phones, and more going to cell phones, that the 911 revenue is just quickly going away, and that that's going to become a problem. And so over those 6 years, we came every once in a while mentioning that, mostly when it came budget time and that kind of thing. Then it was in 2011, I believe in July, when you hired Dave Woolery to talk about the issue and had him look into it. Dave did a great job. It brought a lot of figures together that we never even had before, what it really costs to run all the different 911 centers here in the county and how they work and the staffing and a lot of that stuff he did. And then in September, which is right now 2 years ago, is when we had our first stakeholder meeting, and we brought a lot of elected officials, 911 operators, supervisors, people that are in charge of fire, EMS, law enforcement, all together, and had discussion how we can improve 911 and how we can secure a future funding that 911 will go on in Taney County. And you know, we also know there is this discussion, ongoing discussion out there about charging cell phones, the ongoing discussion that some counties do not have 911 at all in Missouri, and the issue that there's so many counties now switch to sales tax, and because of that, really this the push for that the cell phone starting to pay for 911 service is just really losing a lot of momentum, and that I do not foresee that's going anywhere. At that point, then when the stakeholders got together, it became pretty clear that we need to go to a sales tax. That's the only true secure funding that we can have for 911 in the future. And not trying to piecemeal it somehow together, but to have truly a comprehensive, efficient 911 system for Taney County. And over this year and a half or so, when we start meeting with the stakeholders and the 911 board, it then became clear that there were some questions we just could not answer. We were spinning our wheels. We couldn't figure it out. We asked you had questions for us, and it's just we were going back and forth, and that's how we ended up deciding we're going to hire a consultant. And I think you know my opinion about consultants. I'm really not too crazy about that, but I got to admit, after we get the answers and the discussion we had with them, they truly had an outside look, an unopinionated outside look at our county and our 911 and the amount of calls we deal with and everything, and really came up with some very good answers. Are they right on? I don't know. We don't know that for sure. Only really time will tell. And in some ways, they were a little high in some of their figures, maybe. But the one thing I think it did make clear to us is that we do not need to go for half cent or 1 cent type sales tax. We don't need to be that high. But it also made clear that like an eighth would not work. An eighth would not be enough. And that's pretty much how we ended up with the quarter cent sales tax. I think some of the questions you had in regards to the staffing and what's going to happen to employees, you know, they pretty much laid out, and we knew that, even I think we all always knew it. Dave Woolery, through his fact-finding mission, found some of it, and AECOM even more, just how many other duties some of those dispatchers have. And so some of those dispatchers may, if we go to a consolidated dispatch and like the sheriff won't have anybody there anymore, he will have, somebody will have to do some of this paperwork. The other, I shouldn't say paperwork, but the other duties that they currently have. How many, and that's going to be, I mean, that's going to be to the sheriff. That's the same for Branson. That's the same for Hollister and for the ambulance. Somebody's got to have something there. Those will obviously be a great reduction in number of people, but what exactly it will be, that's going to be up to each individual agency. I think you had asked about the equipment and that we would have all new equipment in the center. Why can we not take the current equipment and move that over there and then use it there? And some of the items will be reused, but the vast majority, we found out primarily through their evaluation that we have pretty outdated equipment. And a lot of the equipment we have is outdated, and some of the equipment we have will not work together. Plus, there will be some type of need of a backup center, and that will have to have some type of equipment there, whatever level that end up may be. And so that's really why the equipment part comes in. That is probably what's in the proposal is probably the worst case scenario in regards to the dollar figures. But I think the big question was about the November or go to some other time for the ballot. And really, as the 911 advisory board to you, we really had hoped for and were wanting to put it on this year, April's ballot. But it was clear that we could not get our facts together for this April of 2013.
The path, yes, okay.
And so we are really, when we hired the consultant, we were really pushing that we have this deadline for November, because we strongly feel that November is the time that should be on the ballot. And it is not that we think a November election is particularly cheaper or more expensive or what else, other items that are on the election. That is not our intent there at all. It is just simply the time frame when we're going to 911 is going to run out of money. And that's why we're feeling November is the time to do this. But that we are your advisory board, and that's really what we came up with, is all the fact-finding that we have done, particularly over the last 2 years. And so that's what we are recommending to do.
Well, the primary questions at hand, at least that grabbed my attention as I was going through this and talked with a couple of people about, it shows the current personnel. Mm-hmm. So number one, I looked at the county first. We've got 10 people. On your slide number 9, page
right.
9,
right,
that are full-time authorized. So I asked the question, when you slide these over to the new entity that would be formed because of the legislation,
correct,
we're sliding over 10 personnel positions that currently fall within the sheriff's office. So my direct question was, so we're going to have 10 less people in the sheriff's office? The answer was yes. And I said, is the sheriff aware of that? Because if this tax passes and there's suddenly 10 less personnel in the sheriff's department, my guess is that's not going to fly because of the multitasking that some of the employees provide, which you pointed out here just a minute ago.
Right.
And if that's the case for the sheriff's department, is it not also the case for the cities that are involved and any other entity that might be involved? I mean, from a from a finance standpoint, I can understand it. If we remove 10 employees that we're currently paying, that flies, and it's paid for out of another source. If, in fact, however, some of those employees remain, and we don't have the dollars to pay them, which is currently coming through 911 funds and transfer in, suddenly the county commission is going to have to come up with general county revenues for the additional personnel. Not additional, but right. The funding source is gone.
Right.
Because none of those funds would come back to the county.
Right. But you're not paying for all 10 of them right now. 911 does not. You're already paying for a good part of them.
Yeah.
But that's really, that's a Jimmy question, really.
I understand. But I have to make, that's a question I have, and we have to make those figures balance.
Right.
But if, in fact, all 10 positions are not needed, it looks to me as though, I meant for 911, that we're basing the amount of money that's needed for 911 on those 10 people from the county, those 11 people from Branson. And when you compile all those together, that's my question. Do we need all those personnel over here, or do we only need part of the personnel over there? Because it makes a real difference in the amount of money that's needed on an annual basis.
Oh, yeah. And that was our, you know, that was probably in the past the big thing that we could never come up with a clear answer. And that's why we asked the consultant to work on that, because we would go by some, is it NEMA?
NEMA standards.
NENA. NENA and APCO standards, which is supposed to be national standards. And they were like extremely high figures. And we're like, we cannot and don't need that many dispatchers. And that was one of the big questions we asked the consultant. How many dispatchers do we really need to beat call takers, to do emergency medical dispatch, and satisfy the law enforcement, fire, and EMS, everybody? And that is what their recommendation was.
But do you understand my point?
Oh, I totally understand your point. That's what we've been struggling with for two years.
We're going from, when you look at all the entities and you combine them, we're taking all the amount of people that we're currently using and we're adding. The number doesn't go down.
I think one of the things
it goes
is
up.
Right now, are we adequately staffed with everybody? No, we're on shoestrings right now.
Okay.
Are we actually able to do what we need to be doing? No, we're not.
And
that's what we're working towards, is becoming more efficient, more adequately staffed. And will there be people that I have to have in the office still? Yes, there will be. Because right now we've got dispatch doing a lot of things that are not dispatch duties. We've got them doing the warrant entries. We've got them doing the thefts, all the entries into the computer systems for missing people, everything is all done in dispatch. Then we have, of course, the warrants. They've got a time limit on them. They have to be entered within 3 days or 72 hours. The ex partes, they all have to be entered within 24 hours. Then the state sends back requests for us or requirements that we have to have all the validations on all the entries and everything done within a certain amount of time. That is all. That should not be in dispatch. That's not dispatch functions. But that's only people we got to do it right now. And they are doing it along with some people that we have outside in other offices doing it. And so will we have to have somebody there 24 hours a day to watch, to answer warrants, answer hits, everything? Yes, we will. And that is required by law with the Mule system that we have to have with the warrants. They have to be answered within 10 minutes from the hit coming in. Do we need all 10? No. Probably what I'm looking at right now, and this hasn't been really discussed. We've mentioned it out in the meetings. One thing that's an option, if we had 5 people to do the entries and validations and stuff, we could accept warrants from the other entities over here and do the entries and everything for everybody here. So that not everyone has to have people there sitting there 24 hours a day. Hollister, Forsyth, and everybody in Branson, if they would like, you know, we could do the entries in one location.
So essentially there'd be some consolidating there.
To where Branson's not having to staff somebody 24 hours a day. We're not having to staff somebody 24 hours a day.
So that'll bring the number, what Ron's talking about, that'll bring it
right
back down to...
Well, currently just shy of $250,000 a year is what we're transferring in from 911 to the sheriff's, to GCR. So my question is, are you going to be able to survive without that $250,000 in your budget?
Well, of course.
I know that we're paying for others outside of those dollars from general county revenue.
Of course, we've got 11 dispatchers in there right now. So $250,000 isn't paying for all of them. There's still funds for dispatch that comes from GCR. It's that $250,000 is supplementing them.
But if we don't have the $250,000, when it's gone, we still be able to function with the balance that you currently have? That's the question. That right. You already know I'm a huge proponent of this, of 911, right. And I know we have to do something, and I want to be as helpful as I possibly can, but we also have to have our finances in a row for your department, and right. That's what I'm looking forward to.
We would be real close to still being able to function. As far as, can I tell you, we'd be exactly... Can't say that sure. Because right now we would be looking at having to put four more people into Warren's division to be able to have them there 24 hours a day.
Part of that funding, though, could that come in from the other municipalities, Forsyth?
Yeah, that's something, like I said, we haven't discussed yet. But you know, if we can consolidate, then part of that funding can come from there.
And so the answer to the first question is, yes, we do need the amount of personnel that's requested within the budget that's in front of us, proposed budget. Right, Chris?
Yes.
Have this scheduled for for Monday. I'm hopeful that you and I can chat, Jim, about proposed future budgets and exactly what this is going to do to the county budget. Because once that landline assessment is gone, with it go, what, $600,000 in revenue a year, I'm guessing? Maybe it's not that much. Of which a percentage has gone to the city of Branson. Brandon, if you got some questions.
Nothing currently the city of Branson gets the same as what we do, don't they? Probably just
no, they're
close.
Yeah, they're very close within a few tenths. Branson gets about 230,000 roughly, and the sheriff gets 250,000 roughly. I have to look at
exactly. And under the annual salary expenses, which is slide number 12, is the dispatch staff the amount of people that you have listed as dispatch on an annual basis?
Yeah, that's the people in the previous slide, basically, page 11.
And on top of that, there's supervision for another $250,000 annually?
That's
and
for...
Then we have administration and we have technical on top of that.
Where it says communications officers, I got the definitions from the consulting company.
Okay.
The communications officers take in the dispatch, otherwise known as communications officers. The dispatch supervisors and the training coordinator are under the supervision heading. Administration is 911 director and administrative assistant, as they have it stated here, and technical personnel is exactly what it, that is the same technical personnel.
Like your IT person.
Yeah. Because we'd have to have our own IT person.
can I get you to touch on backup?
Okay.
Slide number 17, page 17.
Okay.
Explain that to me, if you will. I'm sorry.
Well, the backup is really that is probably one of the items where you can spend a whole bunch of money on it or very little. I mean, backup, you could essentially build an identical center somewhere else that is even staffed to some degree, because that would be a pure backup. One thing goes wrong in one center, you go to the next. That would be purest in backup, total backup. As we look around, really, nobody really does that. Then, obviously, the first way to prevent from having too much of a backup is you build a hardened facility. So the first storm that comes by is not going to blow the building away. The site where they looked, there's two major, separate major trunk lines that serve the building, trunk lines. So if one major trunk line gets cut because of whatever reason or goes out of service, you rely on the other one and you can keep on working. Choose an area where you can be served by more than one electric company, meaning if power goes out from one, hopefully you can use the other. And then your third backup would be a generator. But the generator would be just truly the third or the second backup. Anyway, you build a facility. You choose a facility, and they had a pretty good list of all this to choose it. That's not in the flight path of an airport, so you shouldn't have a plane lay on top of your dispatch center. You put it away from a major highway, so if there's some kind of accident with a hazmat spill or anything like that, you won't have any issues there. So really, and you know, the same with kind of railroad and this kind of stuff. So anyway, that's just choosing the right location and building the right building will really, really decrease the need of a backup. They are saying that currently Branson backs up the county and vice versa and the ambulance, and we would not no longer have that. Well, the simple fact is, if 911, let's say, that something happens to the county right now and the calls go to Branson, that is good, and Branson can answer these 911 calls, but they really can't dispatch them. They have no way to dispatch the six fire departments that the sheriff's department dispatches, or really even dispatch a deputy or the Rockaway or Marion Woods police. We can't currently do that. So where do we end up with our 911s going? More than likely, what we're going to have to do is go with the surrounding county. We are on the same phone exchange, I think they said the right term, mm-hmm. as Christian, Webster, Stone County, and somebody else maybe.
Dallas.
And so we could easily transfer 911 calls from us to them and then make arrangements how they get a hold of us. I believe everybody... You know, like I don't have a dispatch for my fire district, but we have a radio in our main office and we have an encoder so we can set off pagers. We have that. That's how it's going to end up more than likely, or something in a briefcase, something in a mobile vehicle that we can use that we have in existence. When you look historically for us and nationwide, it is really most of the time that your 911 center has to go out of service. It's most of the time due to some kind of upgrade or change that you do to the center itself, not some kind of disaster that happened. That is really very rare if you build the building right. And so, yes, we will all have to have some kind of way to communicate still, some backup. We all will have to have, and we all will have it. But we are not asking for a complete separate center, because we can just flat out not afford that to build.
So if we have a reciprocal agreement with another county, does that mean that there's not going to be any expense going either way? We're their backup, they're our backup?
That is the plan, yes.
Yeah, that's how they've other counties have done with each other.
I don't think I've got any more questions. My huge concern again was when I was told that the sheriff was going to lose 10 positions. I just didn't see that. And that's not the case, is it, Jimmy?
No. I mean, we will still have to, like I said, we've got one other person already in warrants that's working on for those part-time. We would have to have somebody there 24 hours a day. So there would be a small, probably four added to that.
Again, thanks for coming to us. Thanks for giving us the opportunity to talk this morning. And I guess we'll meet Monday. But if something comes up between now and Monday, don't hesitate. Please do ask.
Well, I will. It's and I appreciate the opportunity to do that. And especially, I didn't expect we'd have this large contingent again today. But I appreciate everyone that's here. Does anyone that's sitting out there that's interested in this have a question or a statement to make regarding this particular issue? 911?
Sure. Rick? I do have one. And it's just that the discussion here today has been around the financing, and of course that has something to do with what certainly is important. But at least from Hollister's viewpoint, this is also going to help operationally. And it's going to be a life safety issue that's going to improve that too. So hopefully that we don't get that lost on the situation here. We currently have six people in that section. We spend $265,000 out of our general fund to fund that. We do not get 911. We are not going to, again, be able to just downsize by six people and continue to do what we're doing. We believe that's still a good value. It's a good value operationally. It's a good value life safety side of all of this. And the interoperability that this brings to the county is a whole new dimension and service that we're providing our customers. And again, not lost on the fact that it is also a replacement for the landline fee. This is not just a simply new, it actually replaces the landline fee. So landline owners will be seeing a reduction in their phone bill that corresponds with this. This is more fairly representative in West County, where we have millions of visitors a year that use 911. If they pay for that through a sales tax rather than just paying through it, let us pay for it out of our landlines to support those millions of people. So there's some advantages here that I want to make sure are understood in addition to just the basics of the finance. So that would be my comment.
Other comments?
I think I would be remiss not to mention the cost of the election. If you put it on, I'm assuming you're talking about putting on this November. The cost of that election would be complete. The complete election would be between $25,000 to $30,000 that the county would have to pay. However, if you waited until next August or November,
you said the county would have to pay. I believe it would be 911.
Right.
Apologize.
It's all right.
The cost of the election would have to be paid in full by the entity, being 911, this November. However, if you waited until next year, you would share the cost. Either in April, you would share the cost with other political subdivisions, or August and November, the county is already paying for that election. So you'd only have the cost of your portion of the ballot printing and the newspaper printing. So I know you have other reasons for wanting it in this November. I just wanted to bring that forward.
Thank you. Anyone else have a comment regarding 911 and the opportunity to put that on the November ballot? I'd like to thank you all.
Thank you.
Before we move into our bid recommendations, let's have a couple of minutes recess, please.